WFMS Fishers Indianapolis, a Cumulus station powered by Nash, country for life. Welcome to a Friends and Neighbors Sunday morning on 95.5 WFMS.
And good morning to you. Welcome to the WFMS Friends and Neighbors Community Show. My name's Steve Stewart. Appreciate you stopping by. And just like every Sunday, we get a great opportunity to meet some very good people doing great things for the community. And today, well, our guest is helping out our four-legged friends. I'm going to be speaking with Renee Harler, the co-founder and executive director from Misty Eyes Animal Center. And Renee, good morning to you.
Good morning.
All right. Appreciate you stopping by today.
Thanks for having us.
Okay. Yeah, let's talk about Misty Eyes Animal Center. Now, you're the co-founder, so you kind of got started with this. Tell us who you are, what you do, what is your overall mission?
Okay. Our mission, when we started, we had four major goals. The first was we wanted to help Hendricks County lower the euthanasia rate. The second was we wanted to buy a facility and where we can rehome and rehabilitate animals. The third, we wanted to provide education to the community. So we teach a lot of programs about responsible pet ownership and kindness towards all living things. And then the fourth is we want to go out, once we're established, we want to go out to different cities and communities in the Midwest and help them set up organizations to save lives.
Okay. And you say once you're established, now you're, where are you guys located? You're out in...
We're in Hendricks County. So we serve all of Hendricks County and Central Indiana as well.
Okay, and you've been there how long?
We celebrate our fifth anniversary in October of this year.
Okay, good for you. And you are currently in a 1,000-square-foot facility, right? And that's your temporary home. And we're working on a new home, and we're going to get to that here in just a few. You said you educate people on being responsible pet owners, and that's huge. So often, folks will leave dogs outside, in the summertime, just teaching them things like that, right? And we'll talk about how they can get involved with those classes and those learning things. But you also do a lot of adopting and fostering as well, correct?
Correct.
Tell us about adoption, the adoption process there at Misty Eyes.
Sure. Right now, all of our animals are in foster homes. And as you mentioned, the 1,000-square-foot facility we have, that's open on the weekends for the public. Our foster families bring the dogs and cats in. People can come in, meet them, see what they think. And then if they find an animal, cat or dog that they like, they fill out an adoption application. We do some reference checks and things like that. And then we work really hard to match the perfect cat or dog to the family. So if someone comes in and they say, we're looking for a dog that likes to jog every morning, we're not going to give them a little lap dog that wants to sit on the couch. So we try to do the best to make the best fit for both the animal and the family.
Okay, and you said now all the animals that you have currently, how many do you have?
At any given time, we have between 30 and 45 animals in our foster care program.
Okay, and you say they're all in foster homes?
They are.
Okay, very cool. So fostering an animal. Say I'm listening this morning, I'm out that way in Hendricks County, says, you know what, I could help out with that. I could foster an animal. How do I get involved with that, and what does that take?
Sure. I think we have a really great foster program. There is an application that you would complete, and Misty Eyes supplies everything you need. So if you were to foster a cat, we'll give you the litter pan and the litter and the food. Same with a dog. We provide all of the medical care and expenses related. So fostering doesn't have an expense attached. All that we ask is that you provide a safe home for the animal until it finds its forever home.
I see. Okay. And then it comes adoption time. What's the charge there? Say I'm thinking, okay, I got a couple little kids, and they've been wanting a dog, and they've shown they're responsible, and we've talked about it, this and that. Now I want to go adopt one. What would that cost me?
For a dog, it's $180. What that includes is microchipping, the vaccinations. The dog comes spayed or neutered. And when we take these animals in, they are put through a full medical exam. So we pride ourselves on taking some of the sickest animals out there and some of those that need the most care, neglected animals and things like that. And we get them back into great shape. So you would come, and that $180 adoption fee does cover, like I said, the medical care. And I shouldn't say it covers it. It helps us absorb some of that.
Sure.
And it's an adoption application. And usually within about three days or so, we have a decision. And then you meet with an adoption counselor and kind of go over, what it's like to have a new pet in your family.
I see. Okay. And we're speaking with Renee Harler. She's the co-founder and executive director from Misty Eyes Animal Center out in Hendricks County, Brownsburg, correct?
Yep. We're okay. in Brownsburg right now. Our new facility will be located in Avon, but we'll still serve the same population.
Right, right. And now, you mentioned a few minutes ago, Renee, that you guys do a lot of educating the public and a lot of community involvement. You mentioned you had some classes. I'm almost certain, I wouldn't bet on it, but I'm almost certain I have been out at some WFMS Friends and Neighbors stops, and I've seen your crew out there with flyers and information on various adopt-a-thon type things. Am I right? Is that going on?
Yeah, we try very, very hard. We have an amazing group of volunteers that go out. We try to be at every community activity we can be. We have a humane education program where volunteers go into schools. They've even done a couple birthday parties. And we provide that service free of charge. And we have some cool programs, you know, from dealing with careers with pets, understanding your new cat or dog, and some of the different breed programs we offer. So definitely being part of the community is a big thing for Misty Eyes.
Yeah, and getting that awareness out and letting people know you're there and what you're doing.
Absolutely. We have a junior volunteer program that falls under that, too, where we have kids come in. Just last week, we had a group of students go to a veterinarian's office and learn all about being a veterinarian and what that involves. And they came to the center and got to learn about taking care of puppies and actually got some hands-on. So we try to reach every age group out there.
I see. Okay. Now, I want to bring up a couple issues that I think are somewhat prevalent in the community that people might not be aware of. What I want to talk about first are puppy mills. So, again, that scenario where I'm a parent out there in Avon and Hendricks County, your area, and I'm looking to, you know, get my kids a pet, and they're looking for a dog, and they've shown they're responsible, all that good stuff. What's the difference between getting a dog from, say, a pet store slash puppy mill versus getting it at Misty Eyes?
As far as the animal that you're getting, Misty Eyes animals come from a variety of backgrounds. Some of Misty Eyes animals actually may have been at one point what you would call a puppy mill dog. We just ask that if you are in the market and looking for a pet for your family, that you do the research online. There are places that do have puppy mill puppies and dogs and puppies that come from less than desirable conditions and backgrounds. So, you know, just researching where you are getting them from. A lot of people think an animal that is in a shelter or in a rescue isn't as good as a new pet from a pet store. It's just not the case. We have some of the most amazing animals, and, you know, certainly the animals in our organization definitely aren't broken. They come from just a variety of circumstances, and there's really great dogs and cats for everyone through us as well.
Uh-huh. And again, if someone were interested in possibly fostering an animal out in that area, what's your website again? Plug that again real quick so folks will know.
Our website is www.mistyeyes.org, and there's a lot of information on fostering. And as I said, we do have a really good foster program, so we try to answer all questions before we even begin the process.
Okay, yeah, and the website, very informative. I was searching and looking at it the other day, and it's very informative, very well put together. Now, another area that I think is, I had no idea it was common in kind of central Indiana, okay? And I'm bringing this up because so many people are aware of the dog fighting issue from, you know, let's just throw his name out there, Michael Vick from the NFL and how that went down. But that's somewhat common here in Indiana, too. I mean, that goes on, doesn't it?
Dog fighting does exist. It really exists all over. And if people want more information on it, they can certainly visit our website and click on some links that give some more information that would help people understand what all is involved in dog fighting.
Okay, and again, www.mistyeyes.org. If you want more information rather on that, check that out. Now, we have talked, Renee, about all these things that you're doing for the animals and the foster parents. And that's not free, is it? That takes money to get supplies, this and that. And you mentioned as well, you've got a new home in sight, correct? So tell us first about that, then we'll get into the financial stuff. Tell us about the new home you're looking at.
Sure, we're super excited. We purchased 3.2 acres of land in Avon, and we are getting ready to start building what we see as a four-building facility that will house 50 dogs and 50 cats. We'll still keep our foster program, and we anticipate that will allow us to save hundreds more each year. Right now, we turn away animals mainly due to space limitations. So this facility, we hope, will be one of the premier organizations in the area.
Sounds like it will be. That's very exciting for you. After 5 years, I'm sure you're very stoked. And when it comes to money, Also at the website, www.mistyeyes.org, there's a spot where you can actually just donate. If you say, hey, well, I don't have time to foster, I'm away a lot, this and that, but I care about these animals, I like what Misty Eyes is doing, there's a spot right there at the website to donate also, correct?
Absolutely. Yep, there's several different ways to donate online, and if you just have even a couple hours of you know, a month that you want to donate your time, we're 100% volunteer run, so it's amazing what a group of people has done to really get this off the ground and do what we've done in just 5 years.
Okay, so volunteer opportunities as well. Very good point there at the website, and like you said, if you've got a couple hours, possibly throughout the week or the weekends to come by, that information is available on the website as well, right?
Right.
And that's www.mistyeyes.org. So let's talk money. We talk donations, and I know organizations like yourself have various fundraisers happening throughout the year, and you've got one coming up, what is it, this Friday, the 29th?
Yep, next Friday, July 29th, we will have a golf outing at Eagle Creek Golf Club. It's being hosted and put on by Meyer Najum, and they selected us and another organization to be the recipients, so they still have just a few spots left for teams, but if you do decide you want to come out for the day in golf, and if you would just let them know Misty Eyes is the charity you're playing for, we certainly appreciate that.
Hey, yeah, Friday, take the day off, go play some golf, and help out a great cause. Now you said just a few spots left, so if I'm interested in playing golf this Friday and coming and helping out Misty Eyes, How do I do that?
You can just go to our website, and right on the main page is the golf outing. You can click on that. That'll give you all your registration details and times. We'll have some great dogs out on the course ready to meet you, and it should be a super fun day. We're all really excited about it.
Oh, very cool. And this isn't the first time you've done this, right?
This will be our first golf outing, but we have, as you said, several major fundraisers throughout the year.
Okay, and you'll keep us posted on those as well, right?
Absolutely.
Let us know about those so we can inform the folks. But I guess, yeah, this is the 9th annual charity golf outing where you have been selected to do that. So that's very exciting. Again, this morning we've been speaking with Renee Harler. She's the co-founder and the executive director from Misty Eyes Animal Center. Renee, again, thank you so much for coming in today.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
I'm not going to say anything about you breaking that mic or nothing right now, okay? No, we really appreciate it. And again, keep in touch with us. And again, if you're interested in helping out Misty Eyes Animal Center out in Brownsburg, all you need to do is go to their website. That's www.mistyeyes.org. They're looking for volunteers, right?
Absolutely. Volunteers and foster homes.
Volunteers, foster homes, or if you're interested in adding a new four-legged friend to the family, they can certainly help you out there as well, right?
Yep, several great dogs and cats, and you can see them, again, all on our website, and come on out to the center on the weekends. Our volunteers are really excited to have people come in and visit the dogs and cats.
Okay, Renee, hey, thank you again for stopping
all
in
right.
this morning. It's been a pleasure chatting with you.
Thank
Keep
you.
Up the great work, and we'll talk to you again soon, okay?
All right, thank you.
You're listening to the 95.5 WFMS Friends and Neighbors Community Show. If your nonprofit organization would like to be featured on the Friends and Neighbors Show, contact us at info@WFMS.com. Let us know how we can help you, or if you'd like to help us with our Friends and Neighbors Community Outreach Program. We're all friends and neighbors. 95.5 WFMS.
And good morning once again. Thank you so much for stopping by the WFMS Friends and Neighbors Community Show, powered by the Boy Scouts. Again, another opportunity this morning to chat with some folks who are making a difference in the community and just doing some great things. And I've got two gals with me this morning, certainly doing just that. We've got Jonna Reisner. She's with the advisory board with the Epilepsy Foundation. And Kyla Brummett. Got some royalty in the house today. She is Miss Hoosier Heartland, and you are using that as somewhat of a platform for the Epilepsy Foundation, correct?
Yes, yes.
And we'll get into that more. But girls, thank you so much for being here this morning.
Thank you for having us.
You bet. And the Epilepsy Foundation, what's the overall mission? What exactly are you trying to achieve with the foundation here in Indianapolis?
They work with different programs like the Community Action Network of Indianapolis, which there's a Community Action Network in almost every state. And so we work within the community to create fundraisers and create events to help promote more awareness about epilepsy, I guess, and to raise more funds. So that's the Epilepsy Foundation's primary goal, and it's that, and to offer more like therapies and things for people that are affected by epilepsy to get involved in.
Okay, and raise awareness. Hopefully that's what we're going to do right here, right now, this morning. Now, created in 2006, like you said, Kyla, to offer education, advocacy, and support for all the Hoosiers here affected by seizure disorders. Now, where are you located?
I am in Bloomington. right now. I'm a student at Indiana University. I'm a senior this year, but I am from Greenfield, Indiana.
Oh, okay. All right. You go to Greenfield High School out there?
I did.
I spent a lot of time out there. But yeah, no, I know Greenfield very well. How about the Epilepsy Foundation? Where is it located here in town?
It's located just here in Indianapolis on the west side.
Okay, on the west side, Indianapolis. Just to clarify, all right, let's just kind of give the folks listening kind of an understanding, because I know I went to the website and I kind of tried to educate myself, but what exactly is epilepsy?
Epilepsy is a non-communicable disease of the brain, and so what happens is something, how do I put this in simpler terms? Something about the wires in your brain, I guess, in quotations we could say, gets a little off. And so it's not transmittable by like blood or skin-to-skin contact. They're not positive if it's genetic or not right now. There's still testing being done about that. But basically, your brain just kind of shuts down for a second and you start seizing and going into convulsions. And a lot of times people will injure themselves during a seizure. And it's pretty scary.
Okay. And I guess it's the fourth most common neurological disorder. And it affects people of all ages, right?
It actually affects 1 in 26 people are affected by epilepsy. And epilepsy is actually anybody that's had two or more unprovoked seizures is considered epileptic. So there's a lot of different disease states out there that people will have another disease, but they actually have epilepsy. So anyone that's had two unprovoked seizures is considered epileptic.
Okay, and I saw on the website as well, epilepsy means the same thing as seizure disorder. So let's head that direction right now. Let's talk about seizures, okay? What's a seizure?
Like she kind of said, it's an electrical storm is the best way to think about it in somebody's brain. So you've got your brain waves that are functioning normally, and it could be a seizure could be in one focal area of the brain, and it just affects that portion, whatever that brain controls. So they could have a staring spell, or they could just kind of be out of it, lose consciousness for just a few seconds, and then come right back. But it can also be affect all of your brain waves, which then that's more of a what some people would call a tonic-clonic or a grand mal seizure.
Grand mal, okay,
yeah, that's what a lot of people have heard, and that's when it's kind of all the brain waves are a little bit off, and then that's when some people will have more of a convulsive seizure. They can fall down, like she said, hurt themselves, fractures. And that kind of stuff. So when people have seizures like that, their main concern is to try to get it under control. And there's many ways that they can try to control their seizures with medications. The problem with medications is the side effects. They're actually, I think it's number two when it comes to cancer drugs with the side effects. And a lot of these patients are on 2, 3, 4 meds. Obviously, brain surgery is an option. VNS, the vagal nerve stimulator. That's also, it's an implantable device for epilepsy. That's another option for patients, along with the medication to try to control seizures.
Okay, now you mentioned the grand mal seizure, which is what was going through my mind when we were chatting about that. Now, there's different levels of a seizure, right? Isn't there like a petite mal seizure and a grand mal as well?
Yes.
And the grand mal is like the big one, correct?
Because that's the one that's actually affecting all the brain waves, opposed to a focal seizure where it's only maybe affecting
one area of your brain.
So maybe that's where people get like maybe just they twitch or they have kind of what you get like a would be similar like a tick or like a staring spell.
Yeah, some people won't even move at all. They'll just stare off into space and they won't convulse. They won't fall over. They won't twitch and they're still having seizure activity.
Just kind of go out of it there for a minute and stare. That's one of the petite mals, right?
Yeah, once everything kind of gets back to normal. The problem is, you know, something as small as that affects somebody's life so much because you lose your license. The people lose their jobs. They can't work. The smallest amount of a seizure, even a few times a year, can really wreck somebody's life.
I saw stuff on the Epilepsy Foundation's website about triggers that possibly can cause seizures. What are some of the triggers people report that or think possibly will cause seizures?
Triggers can be anything. Triggers can some people lights, flickering of lights. That's why you see a lot of times on roller coasters and stuff like that. It'll have a warning there.
Uh-huh.
That's probably one people mainly know. But for other people, it could be crowded rooms. It could be loud sounds, things like fireworks. Some people, they get maybe like an anxiety. A lot of the patients that I work with, they get in certain environments. It can trigger. Cold weather can trigger a seizure. There's so many different types of seizures out there. The Indianapolis Star had done a story on somebody. They couldn't figure out. They tried when they bring them in the hospital, do an EEG. They try to figure out what some people's triggers are. And it was like, I think for hers, it was like opening the refrigerator. They ended up showing her a picture of an open refrigerator, and she had a seizure. Yeah. So it triggers can be anything, environment, sounds, right, smells.
Right. Okay. Now, a seizure. Say you're there and you see a seizure actually happening. You mentioned, Kyle, it's pretty scary when you have a grand mal seizure going on. What are some of the first aid things? What should you keep in mind if by chance you see someone having a seizure or experiencing a seizure?
I'm really glad that you asked. So there is an epilepsy foundation of sorts in the UK, and they came up with a mnemonic device that I've been trying to emphasize here in the US, and it's called Take Action. So the A stands for assess. You need to assess the situation and make sure that everything's cleared away so they can't injure themselves on something. And then the C stands for cushion. So you need to put something under their head so, again, they're not hurting themselves if they are convulsing. And the T stands for time. So it's really important if you see someone having a seizure to time it, because that can tell the EMTs and the doctors and the paramedics so much about the type of seizure that they were having, and it can give them a lot of medical information about the person. The I stands for identity. So if you see someone fall on the ground and start convulsing or just staring off into space, then you should look in their purse or their wallet or on their wrist or around their neck for some sort of identification that states that they have epilepsy and what types of seizures that they have and what their name is. And then the O stands for over. So when it's over, you need to tell the person you just had a seizure, you're in a safe place, people are taking care of you, we've called an ambulance. And then the N stands for never. So never put anything in their mouth, never, if someone has a seizure in a pool, try to restrain that person. You just kind of, when someone has a seizure, you just kind of have to let it happen.
And all this information, I think, can be found on your website, correct? Mm-hmm. What's that website? Why don't you plug that real quick, let people know where they can get that information.
It is www.epilepsy.com/Indiana.
Okay, and you mentioned, we kind of touched a few minutes ago, Jonna, about remedies or treatment for epilepsy. What are some of the basics when it comes to that, or Kyla?
People first start with medication. There's a few first-line therapies that most neurologists will try. Once somebody has failed their first medication, they have about a 50% chance of finding another medication that will work. After the second failed, it's about 11%. And after the third failed medication, they got about a 1%, even though there's probably at this point 30-some drugs out on the market. So once somebody has failed two, they're actually considered what we call drug-resistant or refractory epilepsy, meaning that more than likely they're not going to find a medication that will control their seizures. And then that's when they start looking at other things like VNS, which is the vagal nerve stimulator, which is an implantable device. It's similar to a pacemaker. It's implanted like a pacemaker in the chest, and it connects to the vagal nerve that comes out of the brainstem, and it stimulates the vagal nerve to try to stop or shorten seizures. So that's usually an option after that. If the seizures are coming from just one part of the brain, then they can have brain resection, where they take out that part of the brain if it's a part that's not going to affect other parts of their life. So there's some other medical treatments out like that, but those are the first few first-line therapies.
Okay, yeah, and Kyla, when I introduced you, I said I was among royalty today because you've got your sash on, says Miss Hoosier Heartland, hair's looking great, you look adorable this morning for so early in the morning, for crying out loud, but you're using this as a platform, and this is personal for you, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
Tell us your story. Tell us about your brother.
So my brother, his name is Drew, and he's younger than I am, but he was diagnosed with epilepsy when he was 10 years old. His first seizure was a grand mal seizure.
Were you there for that?
I was there.
Tell us about that.
I've been there for a lot of his seizures. It's really scary when you don't know what to do. So thankfully, we were at our aunt's house, and our aunt was a firefighter previously, so she knew what was happening, and she knew the steps to take. So we got him taken care of, and we actually spent a lot of time at the Cleveland Clinic where they did testing on him to try and find out where his seizures were coming from, and it turns out he has seizure activity all over his brain. So,
how are you using your title as a platform? How are you making people aware of it? I know being right here this morning, an excellent job, but how else?
Thank you. I've done quite a few things since I've gotten involved in the Miss America organization 2015, and you have to choose a platform that you want to advocate for during your year of service. So my platform was epilepsy awareness because my brother has epilepsy. So I thought that was perfect, that I had a personal connection to this. Since then, I've done a lot of things with the Epilepsy Foundation. They've been extremely helpful and supportive of me and my journey through the Miss America organization. And they've given me paper materials and events to go to and speak at and the option and opportunity to perform. my talent, which I'm a vocalist, so I've had the opportunity to perform my talent at some events with the Epilepsy Foundation, which has been really cool because I'm getting to mesh the two worlds. And just recently, I developed the epilepsy support group at IU. So it's at my university, and it's actually more of a leadership group than a support group, but it's for students both full and part-time at Indiana University, and they can kind of go to these groups and learn about the Epilepsy Foundation and about epilepsy, and it's not just for people, students who have epilepsy, it's also for their friends to be there to support them as well. So it's pretty cool. You get to log volunteer hours, and so that's one of the ways that I've been able to implement my platform.
Excellent. We're speaking this morning with Jonna Reisner and Kyla Brummett. They're here representing the Epilepsy Foundation. And girls, we've got an event coming up this Friday, going to raise a little bit of awareness and hopefully a lot of money for the Epilepsy Foundation. Why don't you tell me about that?
So we came up with this idea. Lemonade for Livy is a national campaign. Check it out at www.livyshope.com. It was started by 11-year-old's father. She has epilepsy, where they started getting their community to do lemonade stands to raise money. And it became kind of a national thing where it's one weekend every year where people do lemonade stands. They register through the website their lemonade stand to raise money. So here in Indiana, we decided to kind of all kind of bring it together on the same day so we can raise both money and awareness. So we picked the 29th. The whole weekend's actually the 29th, 30th, and the 31st. If anybody wants to on their own do a lemonade stand, they can go to livyshope.com, click on epilepsy or Lemonade for Livy, and register their own stand. But we are doing multiple lemonade stands in one location. So on July 29th, on Friday, we are doing what we call it the Lemonade Crawl in the Circle. So it's going to be down at Monument Circle.
Okay.
Right now, we have, I would say probably about 10 to maybe a little bit more lemonade stands will be set up, but we're still looking for more people that would want to come down, be creative, set up stands. We've got about 6 different flavors of lemonades that will be sold. We have frozen lemonade. We've got somebody selling lemonade popcorn. We've got lemon cookies. So it's just going to be, I mean, we're asking people just to be as creative and fun as possible with their stands. We'll be selling tickets for $1, and then depending on what people are selling, they can value their lemonade anywhere between 1 to 5 tickets. Oberwise will be there with their lemonade and strawberry lemonade. They're giving an extra $5 for anyone that signs up for Oberwise that day. We've got Real Ingredients as a flavoring company. They have donated a ton of different flavors for us to flavor the lemonade.
Okay, yeah. No, sounds like a lot of fun. And that's this weekend.
Yes.
Down at Monument Circle,
from
right?
From 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. So it's great for like people that are working and want to come out on their lunch break. Come grab a glass of lemonade or check us out.
And still have stands available. So if somebody wants to make get their own lemonade stand, again, the website,
down.
Plug that again for us, Jonna.
It is livyshope.com. That's livyshope.com. And then click on Lemonade for Livy. They can actually search. We are called the Lemonade Crawl in the Circle. If they search us, you can actually donate online if somebody wanted to donate money. Or they can register their lemonade stand if they were doing it on their own. Or they can contact me if they wanted to. Or contact the Epilepsy Foundation of Indiana if they want to set up a lemonade stand at our community one.
I see. Okay. And again, we've been speaking this morning with Jonna Reisner and Kyla Brummett representing the Epilepsy Foundation. If you have any questions or concerns or you need more information, just go to www.epilepsy.com/Indiana. And great website. All your questions will be answered, and hope to see you out this weekend, the 29th, 30th, and 31st for the Lemonade for Olivia event that's happening downtown on Monument Circle. And if you're interested in a stand or even donating, just hit www.livyshope.com. And girls, thank you so much again for being
thank
here
you.
This morning.
Thank you, guys.
Really appreciate it. Both of you keep up the great work, and we hope to talk to you again soon, okay?
All right, great.
Thank
Thanks.
You.
The 95.5 WFMS Friends and Neighbors Community Show. If your nonprofit organization would like to be featured on the Friends and Neighbors Show, contact us at info@WFMS.com. Let us know how we can help you. Or if you'd like to help us with our Friends and Neighbors Community Outreach Program, we're all friends and neighbors. 95.5 WFMS.